The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves." But he replied, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil then took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For Scripture says, he will put you in his angels' charge, and they will support you in their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Scripture also says, you must not put the Lord your God to the test." Next, taking him to a very high mountain, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "I'll give you all these," he said, "if you'll fall at my feet and worship me." Then Jesus replied, "Be off, Satan, for Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Then the devil left him, and angels appeared and looked after him. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, the first reading today is a very basic one. Adam and Eve. God was so good to them. You know, he breathed into Adam's nostrils a breath of life. He's done that into all of us. We receive that breath of life from God. What a great gift. Every breath that we take is that gift of love of God for us. And then he planted the garden, and he caused there to spring up every kind of tree, enticing to look at, good to eat, and so on. So many blessings, the trees, the animals, the flowers, all the riches he gave to Adam and Eve, and they lived in that perfect contentment and also perfectly in harmony with God. God walked with them in the garden each evening. But God tested them, and he allowed Satan, the fallen angel, to be the instrument of their test. And very, very sadly for all of us, they failed. And of course, because they failed, sin came into the world. It didn't take long. Cain, their son, killed his brother Abel. Then we have the story of the Tower of Babel. Human beings became so proud and they built up. God had to get rid of that. Then the human race became so bad that he sent the flood. So it's that history of the human race all through this original sin. And then we look at the history of Israel as it's described through the different books of the Old Testament and repeated in many of the Psalms. Again and again they failed. Again and again they disobeyed God, they worshipped false gods, they did what was wrong. So what did God do? To wake them up, he sent chastisements, he sent punishments. And then they cry out to God for his mercy, and he would have mercy on them, and things would go all right again for a while until they start rebelling and sinning, and then the same thing happened again. So what does that say to us today? Well, look at our country, Australia. You know, if you look at the actual statistic, how many people are at church today? 3% of Australians are at church today. So Australians have walked away from God. We're not worshipping him anymore. And our governments in recent years have introduced all kinds of laws that are against the law of God. We had that terrible abortion bill passed in New South Wales last year. Euthanasia in Queensland and Victoria. safe schools in Victoria, which means indoctrinating children in homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all these things, turning away from God. So should we be surprised that God has sent chastisements to us? We've had fires, we've had drought, we've had these things happening sometime. And remember, I think I talked to you about this time, the beginning of October, I remember giving a retreat up in Gaira. Gaira at the time was in desperate drought, and even the gum trees were dying. And Bishop Columba Macbeth Green, in the worst hit diocese of Wilcannia Forbes, on behalf of all the bishops, pleaded with us for a month of prayer and fasting. And I'm sure I talked to you about that. And I know that many people responded. And it wasn't just the Catholics, because at that time the Canberra Declaration, based in Wollongong, had the webinar. Do any of you watch the webinar on Monday nights? You don't? It's, some of you might. No, some of you do, yes. Some of them are saying yes. The webinar on Monday nights, that's organised by Canberra Declaration, and Margaret Court is always prominent on that, leading prayers, praying for rain, praying for an end to the drought. At the time when this big call was made, the beginning of October, the Weather Bureau told us there is no hope of any rain before April, and even then it may not be significant. So we were facing a horrendous year of fires and drought that would never, with no end. But many people prayed, just like the people of Israel. When people called for God's mercy, he heard them. And so we had this unexpected and unpredicted rains that have put out all the bushfires and alleviated the drought, not completely abandoned it. So now what about today? Now we have coronavirus. And where did it start? China. And what is going on in China at the moment? You have President Xi Jinping. He's made himself president for life. He has forbidden all those under 18 to go into any place of religion, of any kind of religion. He is beginning to persecute those who believe in God. He's got 2 million Muslims in concentration camps. He's expelled many Protestant missionaries. So far, the Catholic Church has been a little bit less affected because of an agreement that's been made, but it'll come too. So this country is like, almost is like an antichrist, President Xi Jinping. And so it's not surprising this has come out of China. So the Asian bishops are pleading with us to pray. Cardinal Bo, the president of the Asian Bishops' Conference, he's from Burma, has made this plea. Let us remember every brother and sister affected by coronavirus in our prayers every day. Pope Francis has appealed for prayer support. He said, let us all pray for our brothers and sisters who are distressed by the cruel coronavirus epidemic. So he goes on to say, ultimately it's the Lord of life who protects people from all evil. Let the army of prayer warriors rise in robust defiance against this sickness with prayers. Let the masses and adorations be held in every church for our suffering brothers and sisters. The Church of Myanmar, Burma, accompanies all the brothers and sisters and countries afflicted by this sad plight with prayers. So we have to pray that there will be an antivirus discovered and they'll be able to stop it. We have to pray for all these people suffering from it. We have to pray for protection ourselves. But we must believe that if we do pray and answer this call of Pope Francis and the bishops of Asia, then the urgent call is to pray and send our sympathies to our affected brothers and sisters. Humanity will overcome because it has more grace to be compassionate. So we need to be on our knees and to pray. And one of the things they recommend is adoration. So I was very disappointed. I came here early this morning at 25 past 8, expecting to have half an hour of adoration. I'm going to speak with the authority as the chaplain of Charismatic Renewal in New South Wales. And I am now the chaplain of Caris, so for this state, and you belong to me now. So I'm saying, bring it back. And Stephen here has said, I'm ready to come early and set it up half an hour before. So unfortunately, the buses are not around, so you better pass the message on. But it's Lent. It's Lent. There's a crisis in the world. Surely we should be coming here and doing adoration. You know, on Friday night, the whole night, there were dozens of people in Carlton. They were having all-night adoration every Friday night in Carlton. It was wonderful. I went there from 3 to 5. There were many people there at 3. There were even more, about 20 by 5. So it's people are doing that. So don't cut it out. It's the last time in the world to cut out the adoration. So please listen to that one. Pass it on. But we can make the adoration for this intention that Pope Francis has asked for and that the bishops of Asia have asked for our help, because Asia is what's affected mostly by this. And we thank God we haven't been affected in Australia. There are only 22 cases, very mild. And there our government has done a good thing because it's stopped them coming in. So we have to thank God for that, although in this diocese, unlike Sydney, where there's no rules, Sydney, the Archbishop said it's not really necessary to panic or introduce any rules, but here you do have rules. You're not allowed to shake hands here, are you? And you're not allowed to drink from the chalice, is that right? And no holy water. Oh, goodness. Anyway, what's really beautiful, though? We mustn't forget the second reading, because the second reading shows how God, even though we're terrible, even though we sin so much, he's talking about that it's, if it's certain through one man's fall so many died, it's even more certain that divine grace coming through the one man came to so many as an abundant free gift. So that the grace and the blessings of God are even greater than our sinfulness. We can never sin too much. God is always ready to turn to us and forgive us. And I'm sure that if enough people respond to the call of the bishops of Asia, that there'll soon be an antivirus and all of this will be stopped. So in the gospel, of course, Jesus then, I won't say very much about the gospel, but Jesus was being tempted to go against his Father's will. He was tempted to choose a different path by spectacular things, by power, by influence, and that was not the path that God chose for him. He wasn't to multiply bread to feed himself. He was to experience weakness, humility, and suffering. And he was faithful to his Father's will. So we pray then in that we too will be like Jesus, that we will resist the temptations that will come to us, which will come to all of us, and that we'll be strong enough. And that if we do fall, we'll have that tremendous confidence in God's mercy. And I'll be available for the Sacrament of Reconciliation after Mass at this beginning of Lent. It's a good time to turn away from our sins and to seek the great mercy of God. When we forgive that, he washes away our sins. And the one who crushes the head of the serpent is the Blessed Mother. So we turn to her and we ask her help during this time of Lent to respond to this time. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.